Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. It's afternoon in Perth now. We have got today Amanda Place. We're very fortunate to listen to Amanda's story. It's very interesting. Originally from Canada, now living in England. So, Amanda, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got to be in the wellness industry.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So, a bit of background. So, I am a women's health and fitness coach. So, predominantly, I work with women and I help them basically transform their health without overwhelm, which is the kind of line I use. And that really encompasses working on just not their nutrition and fitness only, but also their mindset as well. Particularly when people want to transform their health, it comes in the form of weight loss to begin with. So, I work with a lot of clients that have maybe neglected, their health and fitness, and potentially have some, eating disorders, kind of whether it's binge eating or emotional eating, and we really work towards nurturing a positive relationship with food and their bodies, so then in turn they can live a healthier lifestyle and have a positive relationship with both food and exercise.
Right. How long have you been doing that for, Amanda?
Yeah, so I've been in the industry actually for over a decade. So my background is I have a kinesiology degree back in Canada, and I also have certified in multiple group fitness certifications as well. And then when I came to the UK, I got a health and nutrition coaching diploma. And then I started my business in just at the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. So
Right.
right kind of, I guess, in the end of that first round of COVID. And really what got me to do that though is actually, even though I was in the industry for 10 years, for the decade previous to that, I was part of that category who really needed to transform their health. So I suffered with disordered eating, using exercise as a punishment, veteran yo-yo dieter for 10 years plus. So I really I was in the same kind of boat and struggling. And it wasn't until COVID hit that I was kind of one of the people who went in the opposite direction, where I actually lost 3.5 stone. For those who are not from England, that's about 25 kg or 50 pounds, depending what metrics you use. And I was able to do that during the first lockdown, and I've maintained it all off since. So we're now approaching 4 years, and I'm able to completely keep it off without counting calories, without using exercise as a crutch, or really restrictive negative eating cycles in order to get there. And so once I did that myself and did that work myself, I knew that it was definitely beneficial for other women as well, because I used to be one of them. And so now I basically help others achieve the same and do it in a more holistic, positive, nurturing way.
Oh, that's lovely for you. I'm glad. Congratulations. It's a wonderful achievement. Can I ask you, what do you think is the most difficult part about losing weight in your clients that you see? What's their needle in the side that hurts them the most?
I think partially, I guess probably the first thing is actually the issue of comparitis. And I think as women growing up, and even the kind of the trends that is kind of in and out, and it's even exacerbated now with the use of social media, we get these feed of what we should look like. And also we get a lot of, impressions from when we were growing up as kids, whether it's from our mothers or maybe some, important family figures, even friends. And we get, this notion of what we should look like and what we should be. So right off the hop, we're kind of already struggling, because if we don't fit that mold, that we already feel like we're missing out, or we're not on the same page and we need something to achieve for. So I think first and foremost, that's a really difficult thing, is right off the hop, we're always comparing, and we're never, there's always something else better that we can be. So that kind of acts as a barrier of why am I not like that? And I want to try to achieve. And a lot of the time, the things that we're comparing ourselves to are not actually really healthy. So for example, I get a lot of time with clients, they want to have six pack abs and it's like, okay, that's great. But what you don't actually realize is, and that's because they're seeing, fitness models and, all these kind of reels and how to get six pack abs in 3 days and, whatever kind of crazy timelines. But the issue is actually, yes, there's that maybe ideal, that aesthetic that you're looking for, but the health that you need to get there is not actually that great. So I also know people, and even when I lost my weight, I lost 50 pounds and I still didn't have a six pack. And maybe I could have done it. People that do, about 90% of women who have six packs don't have their periods. So from a health perspective, it's not actually that healthy, and it contradicts what they're actually trying to achieve. I think another thing that's a bit difficult is too, since there's so much I want to say it, noise. There's a lot of conflicting evidence. It's like, oh, so you should do keto to lose weight only, or you should do intermittent fasting, or you need to do CrossFit. And it can just seem really, really confusing. And if you don't have the right information or have the education, like I'm lucky enough where I have over 10 years of, education and experience. So I see the patterns. I know when I read certain things, I can cut out the noise and get to the real crux of it. Where most of us can't do that. We don't have the tools, we don't have the knowledge. So what do you listen to? What do you believe? And that can also act as a barrier because it just feels too overwhelming. And then we get paralyzed and we don't actually take action. So those are the kind of main things I really think is kind of back from achieving what we want to.
I agree because I know I've had bodybuilding friends that have done the whole bodybuilding diet to the complete dehydration of their bodies just before the competition day to make themselves stand out. And it's pretty traumatic on their bodies, isn't it? And I know
Yeah.
they would have done this in their 30s and now they're in their 50s and they have all sorts of problems with their hormones because of the way they've treated their body along the way. It's definitely a journey, isn't it? What's your favorite kind of client? Who do you work with the most, or who's your niche?
Yeah, who I work with the most? I would have to say definitely in the range of 30 to 40, I'd say kind of is. And a lot of the time they are really busy working professionals. So a lot of marketing execs, lawyers are a big one. Even like finance kind of people in finance, accountants, have some doctors as well, but mainly kind of high achieving women and professionals. About half the time they're mums as well. So what that means is they're just so busy. They're just extremely busy and they just don't feel like they have all the time that they need in order to cater to their careers and their partners and their dogs and and their kids, let alone for themselves. And a lot of the time they end up coming to me because their body is kind of showing symptoms of like you need to do something. So they've been ignoring it, ignoring it. And now it's just gotten to the point where, something else is popping up, whether it's inflammation or even just, they've realized that their lifestyle's gotten out of control in the sense of they can't control, themselves around food. They just feel absolutely sluggish. They have no energy. So it's actually impacting their daily lives is typically when they come to me. And that's kind of my perfect client as well, because I was the exact same. So even when I was working, I did work in corporate for a bit. I was in HR and I was, kind of working up the ranks. I was working ridiculous hours, even on the weekends. And yeah, I would, it was always kind of, yeah, this is more important, or I don't have time for that. Didn't prioritize myself. And even when I tried to, a lot of the times it was a binge. Feel guilty, restrict, repeat the cycle. And it was just a lot of vicious circles that was happening until when COVID happened, I really, looked in the mirror and said, okay, now I have the time, right? The time kind of opened up. And rather than kind of getting to that stress reliever for me was, going to the gym. That was my, like that hour of the day, I really looked forward to it because it was kind of, I didn't look at the news. I wasn't worrying. I didn't have to focus on anything else but myself. And then I actually took the time as well to figure out, what my hunger cues were and what foods actually made me feel right versus what made me feel sluggish and low energy. So it gave me that time to do that. So typically, yeah, the clients that come to me at that point, super busy, they have other symptoms that are popping up, which kind of force them to make a change and even psychologically want to make a change. And we do it in a very simple and effective way that it doesn't feel like it's overwhelming or that's going to take too much of their time. I try to make it work into their schedule and their lifestyle as it already is, because if it doesn't or it does feel too difficult, it's just not going to happen.
Do you have one amazing success story you'd like to share? Or I guess you've got several. I saw on your website you've got a few, but what's your favorite? Have you got a favorite, or is it just a general? Tell me how that looks.
Yeah, I think I definitely do. And it's funny because some of my clients as well, we actually become friends, which is fantastic. So I actually saw this one last week. We had a catch up because it's been a couple years now, and seeing we usually see each other like once every kind of year or 6 months to catch up. And so yeah, she was a great client. So this one, her name is, I'll protect just for privacy, her name's Sarah, and she actually came to me originally, wanting to lose weight. But the real reason she actually wanted to, she said, because my husband keeps nagging me about it, and it was all him. And I actually said, unless it's for you, like you have to want this for yourself. If you're doing it for an external reason, it's not gonna work. and or it's not going to help. And actually, you'll be wasting your own time, and then be wasting like, and I'll be wasting your money and yours. Like, you know, I said, actually, I do want to help you, but it has to be like when you're ready. Like, part of the reason is for yourself, and you want to achieve this, then come back to me. And so, fun, a lot of the times, you know, a lot of times coaches don't want to decline clients, take as many as you can. But as I said, if it's not the most beneficial, and I think it's gonna, you know, be a waste of your money and resources and time, then I've done that. And it actually worked out in the end, because about 6 months later, she came to me and said, look, she actually ended up taking a break from her husband because she realized that that was a toxic, unhealthy relationship. And she said, I want this for me. I realize, you know, my triggers, and I really need this help, and I'm ready to go. And so we did, and she was in a really, you know, down state, just kind of emotionally drained, physically drained. She couldn't even bend, she couldn't bend over enough to tie her shoes. She couldn't bend her shoes to start with, let alone when she could finally, she'd be completely out of breath, could barely do anything for the rest of the day. Her and she was about to be menopausal, which we found out as we were in the coaching process. So had it, so obviously her hormones were all over the place, her energy, it was just everything just seemed really out of whack. And she was like, you're my last resort. If I can't get this done with you, I feel hopeless. And I do get that a lot, where they come to me and this approach is the last resort. And so we worked together. We originally planned for just 3 months, ended up doing 6. And within that time, it was pretty fantastic, complete turnaround. So she went from, you know, not being able to lose weight for about 20 years. She was consistently putting up for 20 years and couldn't take it off, to losing almost 4 stone, which is
Goodness.
about, yeah, so over 60 pounds or
Goodness
30
me. Yeah,
kilograms.
that's huge.
Yeah, and did it without counting any calories. So we just learned how to portion her plates, what to have on her plate. We got her, and she went from working out literally never for the last 10 years to doing about 4 to 5 workouts, you know, a day or a week, sorry.
Yep.
And yeah, and she just completely, her mindset towards, you know, life, her outlook on life, her relationship with food is completely transformed. And I can gladly say that since I caught up with her the other week, that she now has a grandchild. And that was one of the things that she was looking forward to. She's like, I want to have energy for when I have grandkids. She now has one. She sees him every single day, takes him to the park. She's kind of like the second mom, where she's super in his life, and has still kept all of it off. And goes to the gym 5 times a week, and then on top of, you know, doing her activities with her grandson. And it's just a really amazing thing to see. And so that is really the reason why I do it. If it can just help one person, it's definitely fulfilling in every sort of way. And it's just to show you that regardless of what condition you have or where you're at in your life, you can make the changes. It's just making it really simple and easy to start with.
And do you find young women coming to you with infertility that changes their, I guess, when they clean up their diet and their physical wellness, that it changes their ability to conceive? Do you have any of those young ladies coming to see you?
Yeah, I have. And actually, I just finished with one client like that right now. Actually, a lot of the time it's working professionals. I want to say most of the time when they're working with lawyers. And yeah, they want to, you know, lose the weight, kind of get their health and fitness back. And part of the reason is because, yeah, they're wanting to have children, and they've been trying, you know, for 2 or 3 years, or, you know, looking to, and they're worried that, so that either they can't, they're worried that they can't, or they actually physically can't. They've had some problems. And we usually, when I come across those, they also have hormonal issues as well. So whether it's endometriosis or PCOS is a really common one amongst young women at the moment. And yeah, worked with them. And I do find just simple, I think the three biggest things on that is stress management is a huge thing. And again, it doesn't have to be really overly, you know, complex. Like, you have to meditate sitting down for 30 minutes a day minimum, and, you know, go out for nature walks for an hour a day. It doesn't really have to be that, you know, complex. I had one client, she wanted to meditate, but said, look, I don't have the time. How do I even focus? And we just start as simple as 30 seconds when you wake up in your bed. So even if you're not even sitting up, you're just lying down, wake up, quick meditation, 30 seconds, and then we build up from there. Within about 2 months, she was doing it daily in her own little kind of practice room for 30 minutes a day. And we just started with 30 seconds. About 6 months later, then she ended up getting pregnant. So that was one where stress management was the main thing. From nutrition side of things, Definitely. So we're, as you know, a population in Western developed countries, we're over consuming way too much ultra processed foods. And again, if
Yes.
you're on the go, you're probably having a pre-packaged meal at least once a day, right? Or you're skipping meals and then eating out at a restaurant or getting, takeaway, at the office. So that's a really common thing as well. And so when you're having those overprocessed foods, or, kind of takeaway foods with, the meats that are not always the best or have lots of hormones in it, that can definitely affect. So if we do a couple swaps with your nutrition, I've found that's been successful as well. And also exercise too. So, and again, not, overly exercise, just the right amount, kind of like 3 to 5 times. And doesn't even have to be, a high quality exercise. It can literally just be going out for a walk, 10 minutes a day, even getting your steps, at the office, doing a 10-minute lunch walk can make all the difference in getting your step count up. So I find those little three factors are the most impactful things to help with fertility for young women, especially now, kind of in our current day and age.
Yeah, I know we came to London last year. I think we just had a day in London itself. Oh no, we had a couple of days before we went on our adventures up to Scotland, and then a day when we got back. And we found it really hard to find anywhere that made fresh food. It was all grab and go sandwiches or chocolate milk or whatever in the fridges at all the stores. And we walked for hours to find somewhere that would cook us a fresh meal. But we finally did. We found somewhere to have breakfast, and it was like 2 p.m. and we were hungry, but that's what happened. Can you tell me what a typical day looks like for Amanda Place? What do you do in your day?
Oh yeah, it could definitely vary. But typically, I guess to go over like yesterday. So I typically have a personal training client. So that's in person. I do a lot of the time for that. I have my own home gym at like kind of my own little private gym in the
Beautiful.
back. Yeah, so I have each of those. I do have a fitness membership as well online. So I
Oh,
teach
good.
online classes. Yeah. So, and I actually have members in Australia, in Canada, in the States, in the
Great,
UK.
great.
So usually I'm teaching at least one of those a day. And then I typically have some accountability sessions with whether it's during my wedding program is the big one right now. 'Cause I guess in the Australia, it's a bit opposite seasons, but in the normal Heather spirit, it's
Well,
spring, summer coming up. So those are the big ones.
that was my next question. What is your wedding ready program about? And do you get a lot of people coming to you for wedding readies? Because it's a very exciting
Yeah.
time, isn't it? You want to look your best, don't you? So what does that look like? What do they enroll to do?
Yeah. So with the, I actually signed on a client last week for it because again, wedding in June wants to get ready. And basically, why I created that program is I got married as well, actually, a couple years ago.
Oh,
And yeah,
congratulations.
thank you. And so I was fortunate enough, at least by that point, I got to the place where I was already at kind of my
Yeah.
wedding ready body. I kind of did the work already. But I also have a lot of friends and even a lot of clients where they were coming to me saying, I need to get wedding ready basically yesterday. And they've left it quite, late. Sometimes they give a bit of time, but a lot of the time it's like, 3 to 6 months out of the wedding time, and they go, okay, I need to get it together. And I'm so stressed already with all the wedding stuff because trust me, planning a wedding is the most stressful thing, I think, at least in my lifetime, is the most stressful thing I've ever done, especially that week before. And you have so many things you're attending to, family, obligations you're trying to keep up with the family requirements, in-law requirements, and trying to get everyone to come together, and it's a lot of work. So the last thing you want to be now having to think of as work is your health and fitness. And basically, so I thought, I want to be able to help that demographic because I know that the people that I have helped for their wedding, they were so grateful. And really what they look for is they want to be able to be comfortable in the mirror, or not in the mirror, apologies, in the camera. So they know that they're gonna have a camera on them all day long. And a lot of the time, they're just not confident at that moment. And they're like actually scared to get a camera person for their wedding. And with dresses, they are, already looking uncomfortable or even scared to go wedding dress shopping because they,
Yeah.
don't know how they're gonna look. They want to get 2 sizes smaller, but they're not at that point right now. And it just really, really can be mentally exhausting. And so I try to do that stress and exhaustion out of the picture and put into place a plan. So again, addressing the mindset as well as the nutrition and the fitness so they can look the absolute best on their wedding day, have all eyes on them, take any pictures and all the pictures they want to, but also, have that confidence and body image comfort for the wedding day and beyond. And again, a lot of the time, all the, weight or kind of body composition changes my clients have achieved have been able to keep it off long after the wedding. And then even go on to have their kids. And then they take the same tools they've learned to bring it back once they have a baby. So it's a really beautiful full circle. So
Not yeah,
definitely
full
love that.
circle, isn't it? So you help
Yeah.
them get ready for their wedding, you help them conceive their babies, and then you help them educate the babies to become beautiful, strong, sensible adults.
Yeah.
That's the real deal. So tell me, I saw on your website you had a blog about fat and how fat helps us. So I'm a big believer in fat intake, healthy fats, but I know that in the 80s we had a switch to the skinny, low sugar, high, no, what was it? High carb, low fat. So most of the women in my era would have grown up with not eating enough fat to support their
Yeah.
bodies. So tell me about how fat helps us in our diet.
Yeah, fat is a huge role. And you just know, fats, I mean all the macronutrients. And by that I mean your carbs, your fats, and your protein. Contrary to what the diet, certain diet plans say, you do need all of them. And so fats are really important for hormonal balance, protecting your organs, even your mental health. If your brain, loves kind of cushioning that brain and also supporting the mental health from that. Plays a huge part. And yeah, like you mentioned, for the longest time, the low fat diets, like you notice like the low fat yogurts and the low fat, meals and all this type stuff, that's great. But we don't realize is actually in order to get the fat is actually really tasty. And so like,
It
it really tastes, if you notice, like the full fat milk, like that's the best. Yeah, there's
It
skim,
is.
that's great, but then it just doesn't taste the same. And there's a reason why. So fat is really flavorful. And when you take that fat out, you still have to give it flavor somehow. So what they don't tell you is that the food companies pump it with sugar, and like you said, which means carbs, it's high carbs, and actually you're not going to feel as full. So with the fat as well, to get a bit scientific, the calories in a gram of fat is 9 calories, where in carbs and protein it's about 4 calories per gram. So if you're skimming that, that fat, yes, it is going to be lower calorie because you're getting rid of that 9, grams per or 9 calories per gram. But then the issue is yeah, you're still going
You're
to be eating all
hungry.
that fat. You're going to get feel a lot hungrier. So if you ever notice that low fat yogurt, you're probably starving by like 30 minutes later, and then you might go for, and you're also going to be more susceptible to want to have energy rich foods, like then you're going to go for a croissant or you're going to go for that biscuit. I know
That's
England, the
it.
biscuit is a big thing here. So a lot of the time I see, oh, you get the 30% less fat digestive. That's great, but then you're having four instead of one, so you end up having more anyways, right?
Starts that
So
cascade, doesn't it?
yeah,
I know
that's
in
interesting.
Australia, our food guidelines only have guidelines for fat and protein. Carbohydrates are not even considered. Well, they don't have a you must eat this certain amount every day. So
Oh,
I'm more of a
interesting.
proponent that moves towards a higher protein, good fat diet, and a little bit of carbs if you think you need them. That's how I see the food pyramid here. I wish it was upside down. It's the wrong way for my way of thinking. So,
Yeah.
lifestyle change. Why is this important? Why is it important to consider lifestyle change when you're in the midst of trying to get healthier? What do you mean by lifestyle?
Well, a good lifestyle and keeping it up, I firmly believe it's with the notion of, health is wealth, right? I think in the moment, especially now, in at least my generation, so I'm millennial age, and the biggest thing is the constant, oh, you'll sleep when you die, and just work hard, like kind of hustle culture, all of that stuff. And I used to do that, and it can still be tempting sometimes, especially when you have your own business and with the way social media is and kind of constantly feeding that narrative. And again, I've seen the clients do that, but and we think in the moment that that's, beneficial, and we kind of don't really have the concept of time and like our limits on earth to get a bit mortal with it, but it's true. We're not going to be like this forever. We're not going to have our age, we're not going to have our youth, and we're not going to have our health. And a lot of the time, we wait till it's too late to get that lifestyle into place to have a really good quality of life. So yes, in kind of the medical world, we're living longer, but the actual quality of life, like the actual span of to live a good, healthy life, is no different than what we were experiencing in the early 1900s. We're basically the same. So yes, we're expanding our life in another 10 or 20 or 30 years, but that last 20 or 30 years is riddled with cancers and dementia, and we're in nursing homes. And I mean, my husband's father right now, bless his heart, he's in a nursing home right now. He had a stroke with dementia. And it's really hard to see of it's just painful. It's like, yes, you're around, but it's really unfortunate. You don't want to have to live like that. And you have the control and you have the power to change that narrative now. And I think with the way society kind of goes, we just kind of get blindsided to that. We push that to the side and just think we're going to be like this forever. And it's not until we get a really, adverse diagnosis or like an accident occurs, or even that we experience a loved one go through a health scare or, pass away from something, that it gives us the wake-up call. And what I really try to promote is that we don't need to wait for that wake-up call. Why not do it now? And again, it can be scary and overwhelming, but if you just do it in simple changes, like going back to my client's example of starting with 30 seconds of meditation a day, or you start with a 5-minute walk around the block around lunch. It doesn't have to be so drastic and overwhelming that then you don't want to do it, because in time, those small little steps then build up into huge results.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went to a conference on the weekend, and it's part of the learning that I've had for a couple of years now that insulin resistance is at the basis of every chronic illness. So insulin resistance takes about 10 years to develop. So if you think if you're in your 30s and you've got a bit of a higher sugar diet, then you probably need to have, if you're, drinking alcohol every weekend and living the life of partying and snacking on food on the go, and you've got that beginning in your body, that insulin resistance system or switch turns on, and you slowly develop more and more insulin resistance. It takes 10 years for that to develop into prognosis or something that can be diagnosed. And by that point, you've reached pre-diabetes, and it's not long before you're into diabetes to type 2. So that's what I know about type 2 diabetes. Type 3 diabetes is your dementia and Alzheimer's. It's because your brain is starving for food. It's swimming in a glucose soup, and it can't access the food that you're eating. And polycystic ovarian, I heard on the weekend, is now termed as type 4 diabetes because it's all derived from the sugar that we eat. And the sugar is in everything. It's in everything that we find. It's in all the packaged food, isn't it? So unless you're eating a nice, natural, healthy, nutrient-dense food with good, healthy fats, you're probably on that treadmill and you don't even realize that you're on there because it's not going to show up. So you're perfectly right. People need to address this when they're young and can stop that from being turned on.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So where can people find you if they're after your fantastic help and advice and want to follow your success? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'd love to say hello to you. My website is sculptrition.com. So Sculptrition. And then on
Fantastic
social media.
website, by the way. I loved it.
Appreciate it. And if you want to say hi on social media, I'm on across all the platforms. I at Sculptrition. I'm mainly active though on Instagram, so on there daily, on the stories, on the feed. So definitely send a DM and yeah, would love to chat. And if you're one of those corporate biddies, I'm on LinkedIn under Amanda Place.
Great. Well, I will put all that stuff in the show notes so that people can find you, look at your website, and look at all your things. Tell me about your dogs. You have two doggies.
Yes, I do. I love that you brought them up. Part of the reason as well why I got my weight loss, got the outdoor walks and runs and everything. So Jarvis, he's a Cocker Spaniel, British Cocker Spaniel. So he just turned 4 actually, still as crazy as ever. And then I have a 2.5-year-old Cockapoo named Lola. So yeah, they definitely keep my hands full.
Are they chocolate or white or what colors are they?
Yeah, Jarvis is full brown, so almost like a chocolatey color, and then Lola is black, so she's black
Oh,
and
I
fluffy.
was expecting you to say white. I don't know why. I thought you were going to have a white
Heard
one, a black
it's
one.
funny.
Cute.
Her mom was white actually, but so she start when she grows her hair a lot, the white hairs come out a
That's
bit,
true.
but no, mainly black. So yeah, they're definitely keep her hands full, but love the fur babies. So yeah,
And have
did
you
you have?
got them? Do they star on your Instagram, on your stories? Can we'll be able to see them if we
They
look on there?
do. Yeah, they do actually. They got their own dedicated. So on Instagram, they're at JLo Doggies. So you'll always see them. And I have a dedicated hashtag pup cam. So
Oh
definitely the
gosh.
followers. I know they love. It's funny because it just shows you too that people love the real life stuff. Because every time I usually try to post them once a week, and every time I go on holiday, everyone says, "Where's the pup cam? Where are they coming back?" So yes, if you love dogs, you can still give a follow as well because they will make a regular appearance.
My son has just bought a miniature schnauzer, and his name is Clyde, and he's very, very handsome and very mischievous, but he's lovely. He's a real cute little dog. So
Yeah.
you're off on a holiday for the Easter break, or for a while, or a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I'm off. So like I mentioned earlier, I'm from Canada. So we are going off just for the Easter holidays, and then we're gonna go off to Cancun, Mexico for a nice sun break, because in the UK we don't really have sun until the summer. So it's been very rainy. Luckily it's a sunny day today, but it was raining this morning. So yeah, very excited to get out of the rain. Not sure how Australia is. You're getting to winter, aren't you?
Yeah,
So
we have had the hottest February and March. It's been really, really warm, and it's just starting to cool off a little bit so we can sleep at night without with a sheet on. So I'm always thankful when winter's coming, because I like autumn and spring. I think they're my favorite times of the year. So when I can
yeah.
see it coming along and the trees are starting to drop their leaves, then I'm happy. I'm a happy camper then.
Yeah. Well, I'm a
Oh.
summer person. I'm a Leo, so that's probably makes sense. And also in Canada, that's like the only time you don't get snow is in the summer. So
I've
love the
been to
summer. So
the French Canadian side of Canada. Are you in the which are you on the West Coast or the East Coast?
yeah, so I'm actually, well, I was born in Montreal, so French
Oh,
Canadian technically.
gorgeous.
I know, yeah, but and so my dad's French Canadian, mom's Italian, but I grew up mainly in Calgary, so which is the
Oh.
west side. So if you see all the adverts for Banff and Lake Louise and all that's basically in my backyard. So yeah, very, very lovely part of the world. Definitely take it for granted. So every time I go back, I'm very, very appreciative because we don't have mountains like that in London,
No,
unfortunately.
all
So
the you've got all the beautiful autumn. You'll see all the beautiful autumn trees when you go back. Oh no, because it's the wrong time of the year.
no,
We
yeah, so it
want
was
to
in
see the
spring.
autumn trees.
Yeah, so it's about to be spring. There's still snow there though. So my husband and stepson, they're gonna go skiing while we're out there. So yeah, they'll have a trick of that where I'll just be with family and maybe do a spa.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. Well, thank you,
Yeah.
Amanda, for chatting with me. I've had a few problems with my timing for these podcasts. I'm all over the show, but we managed to get it done, and that's fantastic. And I'll get it out in a couple of, probably next week while you're swooning around Canada. I'll get it out and I'll share it to you so you can put it on all your socials. And thank you. I really appreciate your time today.
That's it. I
Lovely.
love your time. Thank you.
Thank you.